Okay, as I said earlier, I'm going to give a few points here for prayer this evening. I'll give you a couple options and do what you've been doing the entire time. If it resonates with you and you find the Spirit speaking to you there, you know, follow. If you're in a conversation already, all you've done is put pause, take note, and you go back to that conversation, okay? And you can maybe follow up with this later on. But we're going to try to follow a little bit what's been happening in the retreat. And we're all about learning to do what Jesus did, to be his apostles, to be sent out in his name and continue the mission. That's what apostles do. And we are learning or asking for that grace of the retreat to learn better the difference in the voices, right? To hear better at I hear God's voice better. There's always more of God to receive. Okay, so a couple ways I'm going to propose. First, here are some verses from the Gospels, some passages from the Gospels, where we see Jesus' heart revealed to us. We get like a window into his heart. And we know that everything he did, because it was the will of the Father, it was love driving him to do all that he did. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, and in Matthew 14:14, we see Jesus move to compassion when he comes across people who are ill and infirm. His heart is moved to compassion. We see, I hope I can read my handwriting. We see in Luke 7, verse 13, his heart is moved out of concern for the widow who has lost her son. And he consoles her, and then he raises the son from the dead. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, you see that he responds to the leper who asks for healing. He says, "I do want it. Be healed." He says what he has in his heart. I want you to be healed. I desire your healing. We see the same in Matthew 20, verse 24, the healing of the blind men. Mark 6, I think that was today's Mass, the Gospel Mass, verse 34. Moved by compassion for the large crowds who seemed like sheep without a shepherd. And he stretched himself, right, to go and spend time with them, teaching them and consoling them. So we're asking for his heart. What I suggest you do, following the lead of the Holy Spirit on your retreat, if certain people or relationships have come up in your prayer on retreat, you put yourself in this passage with one or several of these passages with Jesus. And then you ask Jesus, "Lord, give me your heart for that person." Watch how he loves the person in front of him, how he's moved to compassion, moved to pity, moved to concern. And then you ask him to give him that for this person that you are dealing with, whether, you know, whoever it is. So that we want to be moved by the heart of God in all that we do, and not other things. Give me your heart, Lord. St. Vincent Ferrer, do you know the story of St. Vincent Ferrer? He was a man who worked many miracles, many healings. He went around Europe. What he would do before, and he was sent around preaching as like an itinerant preacher. And what he would do before he entered the city, as he got to the limits of the city or the town or the village, he would stop and he would pray, and he would not enter the city until he felt he had received the heart of Jesus for that city. And then he would go in and preach. He made sure that the heart of God was with him wherever he went. So that is the grace we're asking for. Give me, Lord, your heart for, and then you put the name of that person there. And if there are some more than one person has come up in this retreat, take your time, one by one, putting yourself in the Lord's presence, watching him, ask for the grace so that you act with the grace. It's okay. So what are we doing now? We're doing a little bit of using our imagination, a little bit. We're learning in different ways our Lord speaks to us. Second option, I suggest you take the Our Father and you pray with that prayer. You pray the Our Father. Pray it once, slowly. Maybe use your imagination again where Jesus gave that prayer for the first time. Insert yourself into the crowd or the group of the disciples who asked him for it. The Lord, teach us to pray so you can be at Jesus' feet learning from the Master. Then write out the Our Father and pause after each phrase or statement. And fill in what our Lord God the Father says back to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, pause and write his response to you. Some of you already pray this way because it helps and it's natural and normal. For others, it's different. God can speak to us in many ways. What if, Father, I'm writing heresy? Well, you're not going to publish it. I don't think so. You know, it's between you and God. It's okay. You know, how do I know if it's me or if it's God? This is part of why we have Triduum, why we have retreats. It's to form us. And sometimes it's a common struggle. Is it me or is it God? I don't know. And I'm overanalyzing and I'm getting stuck. And now the perfect is being the obstacle to the good. And so if that's happening, let's get over that. And let's be free to receive prayer and receive the love of the Father as he wants to give it. So write out each phrase and pause and write what comes to mind. Give him permission to speak to you as he wants to. You have a right. You are the daughter of the king. Okay? And thirdly, I would say, let's do something similar. I'm going to play this on one more time. Now with Mary. And you ask Mary to guide you in your prayer. And you pray with the Magnificat, and you write your Magnificat. Use hers as a springboard or as an example, as a template. But maybe from this retreat, you put in there the marvelous things the Lord has shown you, where your heart, your body, your soul, your being is magnifying him in his glory. What is the first mission, the first reason for existence for Regnum Christi members? There are two. What is it? The glory of God and the holiness of the members. Actually, all groups exist for this reason, right? So do we. Your holiness magnifies God. It gives glory to God. God delights in your holiness. That's what you were made for. As apostles, right? Saint Teresa of Avila, right? She's such a wit. Sad saints are sad saints, she said. Are we as apostles living like in a perpetual Lent? Our mass is like a funeral mass every time we go. We complain about the non-denominational churches and why so many ex-Catholics or former Catholics are going there. Well, sometimes they know what they're doing because they make a concerted effort to be joyful, to smile and welcome new people and give them the best parking spaces and make them feel at home. And sometimes we are so convinced it's a sacrament and it's good and blah, 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 and then we sin in the parking lot, you know? Who wants to join a club like that, right? So joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't force it. There's a difference, right? It's a joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It means he's present and lively and free to move in you. That's attractive. So this is a way. This is Mary bursting out full of the Holy Spirit in praise and gratitude for what the Lord has done for the people of Israel and in her own life. Let's pray and let's ask her to help us magnify the Lord and give him glory. Okay, let's pray with that song one more time to help us. Ask Mary to help us to pray. And I will be in the back again if anyone would like a blessing or an outpouring of the Holy Spirit prayer or a word of encouragement. Okay, and then I'll come back at the end for personal blessing and then the communal blessing. Okay?
My name.